I don't know. I don't remember what it's specific. Oh, yep, it is. That is a recorder, that little thing. So, Connie has retired. Hey, Haley. Connie has retired, and so Jennifer is doing the recording, acting as recorder. So whenever there is a motion to be made, you need to state your name. Right? Have you had to do that yet with Connie gone?
I haven't, no.
So she just asked that you state your name. Okay? All right, so it's on.
Okay. Welcome, everyone. It's good to be here. I guess, do we have minutes from last time to approve?
They were sent to you.
Yeah.
I had already made my changes. Did anybody else have them?
Any other changes that need to be approved?
Have any?
Okay.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes as they stand. Nancy Smith.
Janet Taylor, I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
You want to state that passed?
Yes, the voting of minutes passed.
So unanimously.
State who you are. And
sorry, Robin Jensen.
Conducting the meeting.
I'm the conductor.
And we need to take roll verbally.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's go around the table and say that we're here. So Robin Jensen, present.
Nancy Smith, present.
Blair Parrish, present. Oh, sorry.
Lisa Summer, present.
Robin Meekum, present.
Allison Childs, present.
Janet Taylor, present. Haley Turner, representing staff member, present.
Okay. With that, turning it over to you, Lisa. Director of report.
I'm going to quickly talk about our March event. It has been a wonderful event. We've had people every day. We've had over 200 visitors so far this month and others that will be coming. So we are going to extend it through the first week of April, leave the exhibit up. We've had activity day groups, and so all ages have had interaction and enjoyed the event, from children up to 98 was our oldest attendee. So awesome. Yeah.
I thought it was wonderful, and I've had a lot of good comments on it.
Thanks, Robin. It was fun to see you and your sister chat with all those cute, cute ladies. So fun.
We kind of fit in that age group.
You do not. You grew up in Centerville during the 30s, 40s, and 50s. And they all said, oh, we'll stay maybe half hour to an hour. And they stayed the entire time.
Yeah.
So one of them even wrangled Robin to come to her house.
Yep.
Oh.
She had some files for me. It was very helpful. So.
And it wasn't just here locally. Did you go all the way up
mm-hmm.
north?
To Logan. It was on my way, but I went to Hiram, and she had some more of an history research that was quite useful. So.
That was cool.
We had families come from Pennsylvania, families come from Vegas, families came from Washington State. Definitely Women's History Month needs to continue.
Yep.
And I've had people say, well, why wasn't my mom's history there? Well, you have to give it to me next year. We'll make sure it's there. Okay. That's what I had to report on this time. Oh, no. The missionaries volunteered. We have some coming tomorrow. So the flower beds have all been weeded. Michael Higgins and the Parks Department have put the gravel and the railroad ties to make a border around the smokehouse. So that is done.
So who was working there today?
They were both, Parks were there and
okay.
A zone from Layton came and worked and cleaned up pretty much most of the flower bed right around the house. And then tomorrow they'll come in another group and they'll clean the border around the gardens. Okay.
Great.
Back to you.
Okay. Next agenda item. General plan on historic preservation, and then the Landmarks Commission of the Whitaker Museum. Who's over by who?
Nancy's been helping me with that.
Okay.
She has taken the time to do the research, and so I'll turn the time over to you.
Okay. We're just going to wing it. So everyone gets one of these, but don't preempt. Don't go looking too far ahead.
Thank you.
You'll get confused. So the first document is what is currently being proposed in the general plan. It consists of three pages. One page is the Dual Creek walking tour or biking route. And it's a good start, I would say. The problem is, with the mayor's direction to incorporate landmarks in the museum, it kind of changes the entire dynamics of everything. And so there's two things. The museum has never had a spot in the general plan before. It's always just been historic preservation, which it never mentioned the museum. It mentioned historic preservation, buildings, historic sites, talked about the Landmarks Commission. We have ordinances that will need to be updated in addition to this. So what we did is we sat down and we looked at the second document. So my hope or my goal is to briefly go through all of this and then for you to take it home and read it, look for typos, look for grammar, look for things that maybe we have missed or that don't make sense to you, and then we can update it because it will go probably, because it's so very specific with certain requirements, the city attorney probably will need to look at it to decide if how much of it, if any, needs to go in an ordinance as opposed to the general plan, as opposed to the other documents that we've done. So we've kind of done a layer approach. CLG has certain requirements that don't have to be in a general plan, but they have to be adopted, either by ordinance or resolution. So we've done the layered approach to be able to meet the mayor's directive, get something in there finally about the Whitaker Museum, incorporate the Landmarks Commission into the museum, and continue to qualify for CLG funding. So we've had to do a layered approach. So the second document that you have is what we are kind of recommending.
Oh, sorry.
What? What we are recommending be put in. Now, I have Chapter 7 or Chapter 8, and the reason that is because they have pulled out historic preservation in the new draft of the general plan, and they're showing it as Chapter 7. But when you go to that, the heading says Chapter 8. So that's going to have to get resolved. So it's either 7 or 8. I'm not sure. That's a very minor thing.
Okay, so I want to make sure everybody understands. This is what's in the general plan now.
Yeah.
So this is your old...
Well, this plan. Is the yes.
This is what we have
now. The proposal.
Now. The proposal,
it's
right.
It's not what we have.
Right, but it's the...
Yeah, it's the proposal, the draft proposal.
And then this is what the board is going to propose at the use.
Right. With changes that we may or may come up with.
So it's a draft.
So this is our recommendation after everyone else has a chance to look at it. So it goes through our purpose, our vision, the benefits of historic preservation, historic resources in Centerville. The second page talks about historic resource surveys. And the reason some of this is in there is because the CLG requires that we have certain elements. And one of that is reconnaissance surveys, and if we're maintaining those and keeping them. The Dual Creek Historic District was something that the City Council adopted, what, maybe 3 years ago? Three or four?
It's been longer.
Yeah,
it's been longer.
Yeah, and so that was put in there. There wasn't a whole lot of discussion about that which I was surprised, in the draft proposal. So we added that, and then we
show what is required to become either a National Register, local contributing property, or non-contributing. And again, part of that comes from the old historic preservation chapter in the old general plan that didn't get transferred over at all into the draft. So I'm sorry, it's kind of confusing. But as you go through, I think it will make sense. And here's the map that we are including, just like they have, although we're recommending a disclaimer on there. And if you'll notice at the bottom, Haley, that tiny ULR, it doesn't work any longer. So I don't know if that didn't get transferred over or...
I'm sure it didn't get transferred over.
So we just need to check on that, if you could help us with that.
Yeah.
So an addition that we're adding is the agricultural heritage and century farms. So there's a section on that, and partway down, we don't have any pictures in here. We need to have at least one or two, because as you can see, they put pictures in here, but none of these pictures, with the exception of the Whitaker sign, is the current museum picture. So the picture's in here. This is not the museum, and this building is not the museum. I think if we're talking about the Whitaker Museum, we should have our new picture in there. So we've got to get the best picture we can. But the question on this page is, do we want to have any of the historical plaques in the general plan? We've got the Century Farm plaque, we've got the National Register plaque, we've got the Local Register plaque. Are those worthwhile to put in a general plan to show as a picture?
Well,
give that some thought.
Also, homes at the Lincoln Highway and the Vanderbilt train, and there's other historical, broader historic that are took place in Centerville. So
right,
quite a few.
Right. But we don't have pictures.
No, but there are plaques. There could be plaques.
Oh, that's true. And my concern is, you know, if we're going to do a century farm, how do you choose out of the four century farms that we have which plaque you're going to put in without making the other one feel bad? So I don't know. That's do we put all four in or not? So I don't know if that's a good idea. They have a National Register plaque, and maybe we just do that. So give that some thought, okay? And then we go through, and you've got your historic preservation access considerations, how you can get in to that. Our goals, we've got four major goals that we've identified. Lisa, as you go through that, now that we've had time to get the hardest part put together, we need to relook at that and make sure we've captured everything. The next page is funding and incentive programs. This is very sparse. It just gives a feel for what we can do for the general public, which also applies to people that might want to be on the National Register or a local, okay, or the Century Farm. Then the next page where it says Whitaker, so we're not going to take the time to read it in detail because we'll go back to it if we have more time. So the page that starts with Whitaker Museum up at the top, that's where we start talking about the Whitaker Museum specifically and Historic Preservation Commission, which is what this chapter says, historic preservation, in the draft. So we've never identified the museum role and its function. This is just a small part. I thought it would be good to have our museum
statement
in there. That's the best picture I have. I don't think it's the best picture. Hey, I think you took one that actually has from a side that has the Whitaker sign, but the picture I saw of it cuts the top half off. Do you have the full picture?
I'm sure, yeah.
Okay.
Like, just on the website?
I don't know.
It's on the website.
Yeah, I think the one that's cut off is just like the banner, but yeah,
okay.
We don't have a full photo.
I think that one would look good here. If you have that, it would look better than this. Then we go through the Historic Preservation Commission, which is on the second side of this page. And it talks about, those would be the new things that the museum would take over. I personally think that we are already kind of doing some of that. Lisa has already incorporated the historic home tours that the Landmarks Commission used to do. And whenever Bryce needs information, he already calls Lisa for that, which used to be the Landmarks Commission. When they were wanting to redo the sign out in front, was it 1847 or 1848? It was Lisa that had to do that homework, that research, and find it. She and I have talked about many times wanting to get signage, more signage out that would benefit the Trails Committee and other historic sites, cemetery, and that would have been under the Landmarks Commission as well. So a good portion of some of that, you know, they're already looking to the to Lisa to do. Anyway, this consolidates that, and it goes through the review process. I know the council has been concerned in the past that the Landmarks Commission has not always met with staff when they've gone to do things, and they've just done it without letting the city council know. And that's the difference between the museum and the historic preservation. The museum is an advisory to the city council. The Landmarks Commission was a commission, and so they could actually do things by ordinance, but they needed to have it adopted as well by the city council. We don't go in and do any ordinance functions, but now we're being asked to look at that. But if you go to the next page, these are the implementation actions. And so I've tried to identify, and Robin, this is where I might ask you or Haley or Bryce to look out really carefully for us. I've tried to identify, okay, if we're going to historic preservation number one, who initiates that one? That one, the lead on it would be the planning department with the museum and the Historic Preservation Commission. So each of these actions have to report, we have to report back to somebody on. Unlike the museum functions that we do, we typically aren't responsible in letting, oh, city council, by the way, we're doing X, Y, Z. We give you a calendar of events and that's it. And I don't know that they've ever said, no, we can't do that. The Historic Preservation Commission, if they want to nominate or work through any of the steps for recognition of a historic building, we have to identify that and work with either the Public Works or the Planning Commission and the City Council. It's adopted or ratified, I guess is the word, by the City Council. So for example, if we wanted to put up signage in the historic district that said historic walking tour, you know, signs like Ogden has for their historic district, you know how they have the Wayfair signage, we couldn't just go and do that. We would have to do that with the approval of the City Council, because that would require budget, and it would also require the Public Works. I'm not sure the Planning Commission. It would have to go through a review process. That's one of the biggest differences in what we would be taking over. Did I miss anything on that, Robin?
No, I think you hit it right on. And we actually had a discussion the last few days about committee members
doing things on their own.
Yeah. You can't sign any legal papers, or
right.
You can't go and represent the city. You can't go to somebody's house and say, hey, I think the city'd like to do this for you, and then come back and say to us, oh, that has to come through this group. It can't, and then come through the staff or the council, depending on what it is. But we have been
concerned,
educated about letting our committees know that no one person can represent the city.
So in an effort for none of us to go rogue, I've tried to identify who the lead would be, whether it's the museum, the public works, or a combination of. So city council, our liaison, will have to look through that really carefully for us, okay? And then we talk about the certified local government, the funding that should be in here as well. So appendices, because this consultant loves appendices. And because these documents for us are not significant enough, I agree that they should be in an appendix. The first one that we would bring over is the Historic Preservation Resources and Evidence. And what that is we go through and we make certain statements in the general plan that talk about funding and the benefits of. This just gives the backup information for that, those statements. And if they, you know, it's the backup. Appendix C, B is the 2011 Historic Resources Reconnaissance Map, which we are required to show. That's one of the five requirements that we have to have in order to be able to qualify for a Historic Preservation Commission, which allows us to do CLG funding. It's very simple, but not. And so the reason these three maps are in there is because they will get lost if we don't. The very last map, as you can see, is not good at all. I have a larger one, and we're going to have to ask Mike. It's really a cool map. It goes back to 1890.
Can I say that?
Yes. And so we're going to have to get Mike to mail, hopefully, to
reader.
Get his digital copy of that. So that we can
see,
have that better. But what they require is that we keep we keep these survey maps and that we build onto those in order to continue to be a commission. That's just one of the five requirements. They don't actually require a general plan, but that would create, I think, kind of be very problematic if we didn't have one. Put all of this together. I'm actually excited that we finally can identify the museum, combine historic preservation, which is so much a part of what the museum is all about anyway. The new part is the historic commission, preservation commission, that the landmarks used to do, which I was worried that since the landmarks has not been functioning for a number of years, that maybe we had lapsed on our CLG certification, but we haven't. I did get that confirmed today. So we have to be very careful, though, to make sure that we move forward. And because if they knew that we didn't have a landmarks commission and we didn't have this up and running, that it would lapse. And it's not an easy process to get recertified. So anyway, so that's that. Take that home and read it. The next step is we have the resolution and we have a Whitaker Museum Historic Preservation Commission operational mandate. And so the reason we have that, number one, let me just indicate on the resolution, I've already identified a couple of changes that need to be made there. They're not significant as far as concern, but I'm rereading it.
Robin is leaving the meeting. Robin Meekham's leaving the meeting at 5:25.
This is an internal use. I think we've had a lot of times, I've talked to Bryce and other people, and they said, well, what does the museum actually do? You know, a lot of the museum work is out of sight, out of mind. No one has any idea how many hours is spent on the work that happens there. So this serves two functions. Number one, it is, some of it will be helpful as we go to qualify for CLG funding. If the state and the National Park Service know that the city has adopted by resolution this type of document, it increases our chances of getting CLG funding. So this is more of an internal document for future board members, future docents, future council members that come and go, so they can have a clear understanding of what happens. It's an internal document, but we are going to ask that it be adopted by resolution so that the city will acknowledge that this is the work that the museum does. Okay? So as you read through that, see if there's anything. One of the requirements that, let me see if it's in here. Yeah. One of the requirements is that we indicate the historic preservation, number six, meeting procedures and protocols. So one of the five requirements from the state and National Park Service is that when we're acting as a museum, we're one body, but when we convene and act as a historic preservation, we need to specifically indicate that. And so
Bryce has joined the meeting at 6:27.
5:27.
Is that corrected?
So the meeting procedures and protocols are different for the Historic Preservation Commission meeting as opposed to the museum meeting. And we're acting in dual capacity. So that's why this is an internal document. It's to help Lisa and board members know, okay, we need to close. It's kind of like when the city council has a closed meeting or an RDA meeting, they convene, they close the one, or I think they do close it, and then they go into the other one. We're going to have to do that same thing here, and we will need to identify it in the minutes that we have closed the museum meeting, and we're going into a historic preservation commission.
Only if we keep them separate like that, but if we combine them into one entity, why would we have to do that?
Well, that's a question for Lisa, but that's, in all of the research and study I found, that's the procedure.
I mean, it seems the simplest thing to do would be dissolve the landmark, or dissolve that commission, and then just say the duties are now assigned to Whitaker rather than have the open meeting, close a meeting, go back into a meeting, close a meeting.
It might be, and if we can do it, that would be great.
It would.
So, good point, Bryce. Let's hope that that can happen. The problem is, we might have, and Lisa brought this comment up. She said, well, are we going to need to have a few more board members? Because it's one thing to act as a Historic Preservation Commission when you're nominating homes and stuff. We might have more conflicts of interest with that than we do with just simply museum business. I don't know. And I know board members, they require a minimum of five for the Historic Preservation Commission, but two of those have to have specific qualifications. Blair, you meet one of them because you're a historian. They're very specific on what is required. Now, if a city can't find someone that's willing to volunteer, the mayor just has to sign a letter that we have made a good effort.
Is that in our code?
No, that's in the state requirements. We're talking about CLG funding. That's the problem. Landmarks is a different type of organization than a museum. And so we're combining them, but yet trying to figure out the logistics of the requirements of all of that. You'll have to read through this. We're going to ask Lisa Romney to look through it. That raises a good question. Can they be combined into one? That's like saying can RDA and city council be combined into one? The state.
I think that's a little different.
I don't know, because what my research found, that they actually have examples of agenda templates for the two. So Lisa will know better than
so
I.
So where is all this? So all this stuff from historic preservation, this is what, where is this coming from? What's the reference point? State?
This I don't know which document. I don't know what you have in front of you.
It says historic preservation funding and resource guide.
Oh, we haven't gotten there yet, Bryce.
Oh, I thought that's the one we were looking at.
No, we were looking at the operational manual.
We're on the operational
manual. And the resolution.
Okay, well, I'll jump down.
Sorry. Did everybody else have? Did you? Okay. So that's that.
Sorry, I just came in late, but so where is this information coming from?
I can't see that from
here. The historical...
The operational manual.
The operational manual. Is that something that Lisa's put together? Is it something you put together?
It's something that we put together to identify what the museum does. It's an internal document that identifies what the museum does. Because the question is asked...
Are we using the current museum policies that we already have?
We don't have any. Policy and procedures.
Yeah.
I couldn't find that on the new website.
Well, it's all linked through Municipal, so that takes you right to
the Municipal code I couldn't find.
Yeah, so all of the Whitaker stuff is here.
But that's on...
anyone can access this, and it is linked currently on our
site. You look up city code, it's in that section.
Well, I can find the zoning code, I can find the general plan.
General plan is not in the same place as that because it's not adopted. So city code on the main page.
Where is the municipal
code? It's right under, let me go to museums and history.
Or just on the main page, it says
but
city
that
ordinances.
That document is very specific.
So yeah, it says Whitaker Museum policies, and if we click that, it goes straight to the ones that we currently have. And what's
that one deals mostly with, you probably read that, more recently than I have. That one deals with how to function in loaning out archives and past perfect.
Accession.
Accessioning.
Deaccessioning.
Deaccessioning.
It's got quite a few things in here.
If we were to
rent
the building.
General provision, mission statement, and vision, hours of operation, certificates and filings, museum board, museum director, volunteers and docents, museum access, building use, collections management, research facilities.
Yeah, that's
so I just wouldn't want this to go against anything that we currently have adopted in our policies.
No, this is completely different. Although it doesn't mean, I don't know that Lisa wants to have all of this as part of an ordinance. So that's why it's an internal operation.
But we don't want to keep things just internal or external. We want anybody to be able to see it. So
well,
they know what the museum
it's,
is about.
It's reference, and anybody can look at it, get the passing board. And I would tend to say that would be a city attorney. If she wants to incorporate this in with that, that's great. But the advantage of doing this is if anything were to change, it doesn't require city council to do a public hearing and make an adoption change.
So is the idea that
it's just to give a framework of
for the board?
So
because Steve Thacker used to ask all the time, well, Lisa, how are you spending your time? What are you doing?
Yeah.
Because I mean,
yeah, I just want to
nobody seemed to understand. That doesn't necessarily require adopting an ordinance to indicate, in my opinion, but. Again, these are things that we want to make sure that we flushed out and then ask our city attorney. She's the one that will have the legal with all to know how to do that. The other one is this historic preservation funding and resource guide. That's the one that Bryce pulled up. That one has however many pages of potential and possible funding options that we can do. And these are going to change from time to time. That's why we don't want this long list in either the general plan or in an ordinance, because every time we go to look at this, we've got to double check to make sure it's updated. The very last the next to the last page are the key contacts, the ones that we use the most, number 9. But so when we're dealing with homes that might want to get registered on the national or local, number 2 talks about the different tax incentives and credits that are available if people want to take advantage of that. And that was part of what the Landmarks Commission did. I don't know that that's something that needs to get put in full detail in a general plan. It makes it too cumbersome. But this is the information as an internal document that either the board or probably Lisa would need to have to reference to be able to say to them, yes, some of those things are available, and this is where you need to go, or that's or where we help them understand what those options are. So, anyway, this is everything I could find on different funding options for museums or historic preservation. That's what that document is. Okay? Any questions on that?
I guess let me just be clear on funding and grant. In general, just anytime we're going to go after a grant, that communication needs to run through Lisa or Haley first.
This is her document.
Does that make sense? As a board member, you can advise and you can suggest, but as the actual person who goes out and gets it, that needs to be a city staff member. Right.
These are internal documents for the director to maintain.
And references to give people who may want to put their home on a registry and want grant by
grants. And then just we need to be advisory or suggest to the council ones that we want to add to the Landmarks Commission. We're not just doing it without the council's permission.
We kind of went over that. And,
yeah, Robin definitely. She mentioned that before. Okay.
If you'll look at the one that says Chapter 7, Historic Preservation, let's go to page... four pages before the very last, where it says implementation actions. Implementation actions.
And what is this from? This from state, chapter 7? What's this chapter 7?
This is our recommendation for the general plan.
Chapter 7. This
yes. So go to... almost the very end, where it has implementation. So if you'll see goals 1 through 10, Bryce.
Hold on. Not as fast as you.
So the appendix on the bottom. You're too far. There you go.
You'll see those are... in the past, we understand that there has been a problem with not necessarily going through the proper protocol. So every one of these actions indicates that the lead is either the planning department or the museum or public works. We can't just go out and put someone on the history, on the national registrar. That has to be adopted through the city council.
You're recommending
going. Recommending, right, yeah, to the city council. So that's where that's covered, okay? Anyway,
have you gone over this one yet, chapter 7?
Yep. So the very last document was just a suggestion that we submit. Once we make our changes, corrections on this, that we submit this to the mayor and the city council for them, and that was a draft. However, on that, go to item number 3B, and completely mark that off.
The ship of sales?
Yeah, the ship of readiness, because we are still, at the moment, qualified for... CLG under the Landmarks commission. And then on the second page.
Wait, we receive CLG through the Whitaker Museum. Why is that?
Through the city.
Through the
we
city.
Do it through the landmarks because we have a landmark commission.
We still have a landmark, but if we do
we,
it.
We don't qualify for it on our own right.
What do you mean on our own?
Museum cannot get a CLG grant on their own. We got them always under landmarks.
Under a historic preservation commission. So on the second page, the third bullet, mark that one off.
Operation manual.
CLG readiness assessment, regulatory requirement, mark that one off. The third bullet on the second page. And then on the attachments, number three, mark that one off. We don't need to do that either, okay? So, now that we've quickly gone through, I will tell you, there's two other errors as I read this one today I noticed. Number two, it says the City's Historic Landmarks Commission. We're on the memo to the mayor and the council. Does everyone have that? Not that it's critical because I'll get it updated. But under number two, the next to the last line, it says utah.gov/shop. It should be SHPO. But we'll get that corrected. Anyway, we've gone through that real quick. So, what's confusing? What do you have questions on?
So you want us to go through this and edit for clarity, grammatical things like that?
And see if you think that we've missed something. Like Lisa pointed out, some of the other
historic.
I think those are mentioned. I think we did get those incorporated. But
like the Lincoln Highway?
Oh, no, we don't talk about the Lincoln Highway. Again, I don't know how much they're going to. You can see our general plan. So this is what they used to have in the general plan. It was an 8-page document on just historic preservation. Just historic preservation. They've gone from an 8-page down to basically a 2-page in the draft proposal. Didn't cover any of that. We've tried to bring what was in that and keep key things that the museum is doing into our proposed Chapter 7. But, I mean, when you go from nothing to the first time talking about what a museum function does and trying to incorporate what is required for CLG funding and historic preservation into a document, we may have missed something, but, I mean, how much can we do? Do we feel like we need to do the Lincoln Highway? Maybe.
Oh, it's Main Street. It's 89. It's right here.
But
it's
Main Street. Yeah. But so that's where you need to make the comments and come back and see if you feel like you want that added in. Okay? And I would say if you want, and if you can get them done before next month, drop them off to Lisa and then. Would you recommend that we go through it and update it and do a final?
Yeah, I think so. Save on time and then I'll
So that's a little bit of a homework. I mean, it could be very exciting because for the first time, the museum will actually officially be recognized. Which it never has been.
So let me back up a little.
Yes.
So the Historic Preservation Committee, has there been a board for that?
The Landmarks Commission was able to function under the Historic Preservation Chapter in the General Plan.
They kind of gave the guidelines for how they would function.
Robin, make them rejoin the meeting at 5:45.
But we also have an ordinance that specifically grants to the Landmarks Commission to meet all of the qualifications that the Utah State and National Park Service required in order to qualify for CLG funding, and to make nominations to put certain buildings on the National Registrar or the local registrar. So they're very specific requirements, and we did it in the city was able to do that in the past because they had that ordinance in place that coincided with this document that did not get carried over into the draft for preservation. Did that answer your question?
So is there currently?
No. So I think historical preservation is really Landmarks Commission, I think is what you're trying to say. Nancy.
Well, so they're not exactly the same. One can't function. They're two separate things.
But we don't have a historic preservation commission.
Right. Not the commission, but we have.
Before the Whitaker was made, it was the historical society, and then when we adopted the Whitaker, it formed into that.
No.
So we lost it.
No, it went into. It was the Landmarks Commission. After the historical society, it was the Landmarks Commission. Mm-hmm. Right.
I was told that it went from the historical society to the Landmarks Commission and the museum. They were two separate.
And so that's why the mayor was thinking, you know what, we've had a hard time keeping the Landmarks Commission functioning. So much of what the museum has started to do, because we've kind of been a super, I don't want to say aggressive, but very outgoing in preservation. His thinking was combine the two into one, okay? But even if we become a museum commission, that doesn't give us the right to do the CLG funding. There's certain requirements that you have to meet.
And why? What are those requirements?
Well,
I never understood. You have to know that it was, I was told that was how it was.
You, having an ordinance that authorizes a commission to act is number one.
Okay.
That currently is the Landmarks Commission, and that wording is going to have to be updated.
So why couldn't the Whitaker change to be a Whitaker Commission?
I don't know any museum that is a landmarks as well. In Utah, I don't know one. They're separate.
Does that worry you? Just because it hasn't been done?
I don't know.
When we initially talked about this, we wanted to identify the museum's role and function because that had never been identified before. And who's to say that another mayor down the road 10, 20 years from now might want to split it back up? I don't know if that's a legitimate concern or not, but when we took on his request, we felt the need to identify what the museum does, which is way different than the other. It's different. So do they need to be separated? I think in the general plan, we tried to identify the difference between what the museum does versus what the commission would do, the Historic Preservation Commission. Now, can they be one and the same thing? I don't know. I think that would be a question for Elena Franco at
the
state.
She's not there anymore.
She's not.
But there's someone new.
Yeah.
But we can ask the state.
I guess to me, I think you're more than the Whitaker than you were ever before. I think the Whitaker is a piece of what you're accomplishing. Like, to me, I think you're more the the Historical Preservation Committee for the city, and the Whitaker is part of that, and Landmarks is part of that. All those fall into historical. That's what I would think would make more sense.
Well, and that's what we're doing. We're just not combining the Landmarks Commission in with the museum. We're keeping a museum board and a Historic Preservation Commission.
Now, but we don't have a Historical Preservation Commission. That's something that we've got to adopt.
Well, we have creating a Landmarks Commission.
I know, so it's either Landmarks Commission and Whitaker.
Right.
Period. Or we've got to go to council and say we want to create a Historical Preservation Committee.
Right, and that's what we're recommending in our Chapter 7. And so the Landmarks Commission ordinance that we currently have will simply change to show dual capacity for the museum as well as the Historic Preservation Commission. So the museum will act in dual capacity for both as a museum and as a Historic Preservation Commission, which the functions are separate. Yeah. And ultimately, that's the question.
I agree. I don't know. I guess I agree to disagree in some respects, because I feel like you guys are the bigger picture. Like, you're the history of Centerville. You're the preservation of Centerville, Historical Society, or whatever you want to call it. Within the Historical Society, you can have specific duties and functions. Why can't that be the Whitaker and the Landmarks Commission or Historical Preservation within that one name? Rather than having still have Landmarks and still have Whitaker and still have Historical Preservation. Does that make sense?
We're not going to have a Landmarks.
We'll get rid of Landmarks.
Okay, I guess I'm confused in that process.
We're only having the dual capacity of the two, the museum and the
Historic
Preservation Commission. Hmm. Now, it was recommended that the Chapter 7 be written up as a dual capacity that way. That raises a good question, Bryce, and I think that's a question for Lisa to research. I mean, that goes far beyond our legal expertise as to why, but I feel like
you both were suggesting the same thing in a different way.
Yeah.
As this board, you want to oversee the museum and now the Landmarks Commission, but you just don't want to call it Landmarks Commission?
No, because that's misleading. It's not a Landmarks Commission in the true sense of a Landmarks Commission.
But is that like kind of the ultimate idea? Is this board is going to oversee the museum and what was the Landmarks Commission under one umbrella? Because I feel like that's also what we're suggesting.
Well, no, Bryce is suggesting that we don't even call it a Historic Preservation Commission and a museum board. He's suggesting that we have one entity, which we are one entity. It's just that we have dual capacity assignments. They're not the same, if that makes sense. The museum doesn't go out and seek, typically, to find homes to put them on the National Register.
They never have, but I think going forward, I think that's the idea. With the Landmarks being added to the Whitaker, I think that's the idea.
Well, but see, that's the approach that we've taken is, yes, we will do it in a dual capacity.
Why does it have to be a dual capacity? I don't understand that. Is that for legal reasons, or is that just because of...
I can't answer that for positive, but everything that I looked at suggested that we set it up as a dual capacity role, as a museum and as a, when we convene to do the other work, that it be done in kind of like when you adjourn and go into an RDA or another meeting. And I don't know for sure if that is because of the CLG requirements from the state or the national parks.
I can find that out pretty quick.
Yeah. But anyway, whichever way it goes, all of the information is in Chapter 7.
So whether it's combined into one.
I guess from my perspective, just from administrative wise, so we've heard from Nancy, Robin, other member, board members, what do you feel about it? Like,
well, I have a question, and mine's going to sound really stupid because I don't really know what I'm talking about, but I do know that when I first.
Can you record that?
It's recording. Okay.
Great. I'll come over the PA system. So when I was first on city council, I was attending the Landmarks Committee once in a while. I was substituting for the council person that was supposed to be there. So I only got a little bit of a taste of it. But one of the times when they were picking this house, they said that the museum had to do something in order for them to be able to get the grant to do the other, that we had to, that was actually the museum that did something in order so we could qualify to get the money. They said without the museum, you couldn't get the grant to do the investigating on the house and getting it set apart.
It was the other way around. We couldn't get any grant money
without the landmarks. Okay, so that was my question. I knew
that
was.
They only wanted like a $2,000 grant, mm-hmm. and we always wanted the max. And so we always had to do the grant application. They didn't know how to do it. And so that's probably where the miscommunication came in.
We shared the grant funds.
So we shared the grant funds, but it was the museum that would write it.
But
we only qualified because of them.
Because of them. I knew we
had
to go. So that was my concern when the mayor said, you know, we'll do away at this. At one point in time, he just said, do you think we need it? And I'm like, I think we need it for a reason on getting the grants. Because that was, like I said, I wasn't there enough that I knew, but I did know that the two played together to get the grants.
So I'm kind of thinking, and you have to remember, worked on this, 4 months ago?
Yeah.
And there's been a lot happen since 4 months ago. So, but what I'm remembering a little bit more is that the SHPO and National Park Service does require a commission, a Historic Preservation Commission, in order to qualify for CLG. And we set that up under the Landmarks Commission.
Right. Every time we applied, we had to go through.
I don't know. It raises an interesting question. Bryce made a comment a couple of days ago that he wondered if we should be called the Whitaker Museum Board rather than the Historical Society or Preservation Society, or I don't even remember all of the names that you threw out.
Yeah.
Which I don't have a problem with, and that doesn't matter. What matters is the requirements that they put on us. I don't know that we want to give up the fact that we are, I don't know. How do you feel? Do you mind if we're not? I mean, do you think that it's okay to be a Historic Preservation Commission and not a museum commission or a museum?
How much of this is just a matter of nomenclature rather than what we're actually doing? In other words, at the end of the day, I don't care what we're called, as long as we're worried about history and preserving history and facilitating history within Centerville. I think Whitaker has a great brand recognition already. I would hate to give that up, but at the same time, you know, we have to jump through hoops through because of the state. I don't know. I think we could probably be creative, and we're the Centerville Historic Museum Commission, or I don't know what, something where we can make it so that we can have our cake and eat it too a little bit. And one of the things that occurs to me is that, you know, we're with this grand plan or whatnot. I don't have a lot of context for it, but it seems like it's a good chance for the whole city administration to think of, you know, what are we doing, what can we improve, things like that. And I think we can also take that invitation for the Whitaker Board of, like, okay, yeah, let's think. We're starting, you know, we've done a lot with cemetery. We've done walking tour. It's not just the Whitaker. It's a lot
right.
of other things. And so what are the additional things that we can take on? And, you know, Whitaker is our headquarters. Whitaker is where Lisa's office is, you know, these things. But what are some of the things that we can do more, improve. I don't know if that makes sense, but
it makes sense to me. I think when you say the Whitaker, I'm looking at the building and property there. When you say historical, that's a broad aspect, and we're looking at all of Centerville. As opposed, I mean, the Whitaker board, I mean, I have no problem, but I would say that that seems like more of an entity in the middle of Centerville rather than a historical board, which goes covers the whole city.
For the 10 years, every time we've applied for a CLG with the other city management manager and with Brent as well, it had to be the museum and the landmarks, both of them working together.
And that was my understanding, is that we had to have the two of them in order to get to qualify.
Seems like that's a fairly
crucial state level.
I'm asking the same thing.
Yeah.
I just don't know why it couldn't just be Centerville Historical Committee, and within that committee, they're charged with overseeing museum and the landmarks. I don't understand why that's a hang-up.
Well, when you apply for a grant, it does increase our chances if we can show that we're acting as a museum and as a historic preservation commission. I will tell you that.
Well,
right
yeah,
now.
That's what I'm saying.
But that's why this was written up, for us to be a dual capacity, both, not one.
This
explosion.
Board acts as both.
It's
so the,
both.
Nancy, the advantage is the grant deciders are saying, oh, there's two separate entities that are asking for the same thing.
But we've
thing.
Never gotten money for Whitaker versus
yes.
landmarks.
Yes.
Well, no, we got it together. We had to have both of them to get it.
One.
We couldn't just get it for the museum, and we couldn't get it for the landmark. So that's what they said. The landmark
so again,
only
I'm
wanted
just saying, if they both are required together, why can't it be one entity? I don't understand.
Because they want two sources.
Have to keep
okay,
next.
I want to research the CLGB because it doesn't make
love
sense
for you
to me.
To do that.
It does not make
I would
sense.
Read the document before you give them a call, and then
which document am I reading?
Well, probably you should read all of them. To be fair, well, then read the for chapter 7, our recommendation. I will tell you that Park City and there's one other city that there's not that many that have the CLG certification. Centerville City does have it.
And we
right
always
now
get that grant every year.
And they
we
have
it the past two.
No,
well, we
have
it for the last two.
We've been turned down and we haven't applied for it.
Yes.
No,
we've
applied.
And
why? Because they're giving to urban rather than
they're
rural instead of urban.
And funding was cut back.
Funding was cut back. And yeah, now the National Forest Service is in charge of CLGs.
Right. And the two people that love the museum have all retired. How many years did we get it? 5 years, 6 years in a row?
Oh.
We got it.
Well, it's every 18 months, so
but
from 2010 to
yeah
the present.
But Landmarks Commission honestly did not get the grant by itself. It
right
got it because we had a museum. And the museum, it was surprising to me that we didn't have a general plan that acknowledged the museum. The people that were there, Don Hartley and Lisa Buck Miller and Debbie, who served on the museum board for a while.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They all knew what we were doing, and they saw the aggressive stuff that was going on, and they loved it so much that they said, we love you guys. We're going to give you what you asked for. But it was the museum that got it, even though we didn't qualify without. Yeah. That's the confusing part.
Do you have those applications?
Clarify something.
Awesome. They're in
so
the files.
Robin was saying she had been to the meetings of the Landmark Commission.
Yes.
Is that commission still
no
functioning?
No, it hasn't functioned for the last 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
Before
so when you
that,
say you're combining the two things, we're not combining two groups of people. We
no
are only
we're
combining
taking the work from the Landmarks Commission. I'm putting
okay
it onto this committee.
So
So we're, when we say combining, we are not combining two groups of people.
No, we're just combining the duties.
And then this board, we're combining all the duties of both into this board.
Right.
Right, into this board, but the way we've written it.
And then I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, the dual capacity.
The dual capacity, but I just wondered about where those people were.
Sorry, there are no people.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry.
Good point. Blair, do you have any questions?
No, I don't have any questions. I'm just, I can see that we have to, why there would be two into one, but I think for.
If it can be simplified, that would be great, but yeah.
But I can see how, knowing how government.
Would Lisa Buck-Miller be able to answer some of these questions?
No.
I don't think so, no.
I'll call the state and I'll call NFS tomorrow.
Okay, Bryce, when you do, be very careful because if they know that we do not have a Landmarks Commission, it could.
We do have a Landmarks Commission.
It's not functioning.
But we have it on the books. It's in our code. Doesn't mean it's not functioning. I mean,
just
it's
don't
not,
let them know it's not functioning.
I'm just, yeah, I understand. We have a land, it's in code. We have an unwritten code for that. So we have it. It's just the suggestion was made that we were going to combine the two to the one. But they don't know that.
That'd be great to know the reason being. But every other city that I've talked to as well, they're separate.
And who are those? Like, who are the cities?
Kaysville, Fruit Heights. Kaysville, they're kind of combined. And I really believe Dayton is as well. You could talk to Josie. And I think Syracuse is. You can talk to Nelden, Syracuse, BC.
So the draft proposal doesn't really mention the museum at all. If you notice on the last page, goals and implementation, it says the city has established comprehensive goals for historic preservation, including the creation of a historic preservation commission, which we have not done.
I want to know why he never wanted to meet with me.
Who?
The person who wrote this up. I never met with them. They never asked me any questions. I don't even know who it is.
Yeah, I was going to ask who had written this.
I don't know.
The museum guy is interesting. I would have thought that he would have checked with Oliver.
Yeah.
That makes a whole lot more sense than anything else.
So I think that they took that because in the current general plan, we do have a historic preservation plan. And it talks about creating a historic preservation commission. But I don't know. Anyway, but there's nothing in here about the museum. And that's why go through chapter 7 and see what we've missed, see what needs to be clarified. That's probably the, if you only will do one, do that one. That's the one that you need to go through. And see what we've missed.
Is going through this premature until we find out the answer to?
No, I don't think so. Because if we've missed something.
You want it in there anyway.
If we want it in here anyway, and if it's combined. Yeah. Anyway, I'm not worried about that, so.
I think the idea, maybe you don't see the Whitaker in here, is that idea of that historic preservation being the all-encompassing concept. I'm not saying it's not right. I'm just saying that I think the idea of the Whitaker is not just Whitaker.
Well, then you can understand then, Bryce, why it's even more important than Haley, why we thought of doing the operational manual, because nobody has a clue what happens at the museum level. The type of work that's done, what's required in training docents and getting volunteers and archival work and all the people that want to come and look through the records and spend hours researching. You know, there has to be a person there that oversees that. And that's really never been articulated anywhere.
And so this Bob, was this written by you or written by both of you?
Nancy put it together.
Yeah, so I'd be curious to see the board's perspective on what's in here.
That's the whole purpose.
And that's supposed to be Ron's, right? Not
I know what, right?
Just
I know.
Double making sure.
Was this all submitted in the packet for the meeting?
Tonight, right here. Nothing's been voted on or anything.
We're not voting on it.
I know, but how do the public see this?
Well, it was on the agenda.
It was on the agenda? Mm-hmm. All these things?
No.
Oh, okay.
Then we were discussing it.
I just think in the future,
general
if we're going to have
plan
documents
of
like this,
preservation.
It should be
Landmarks Commission and the Whitaker.
So.
Out in the rough draft form?
Yeah, you can just take draft on all these. The same thing in council. I mean, when people have something for the packet, it goes through. And then that way the general public has access to it as well.
Okay.
So just something to think about for the future.
Okay.
Hey, Lisa, do you have anything else you
want to
add to that?
I do not. Does anybody else? Well, we'll turn the time back over to Robin.
Yeah, no, thank you. Make sure this is clearly a lot of work, so thanks for putting the work into it. So anything else that needs to come to the board, I guess? Well, I guess we don't do that if it's not on the agenda. So I guess with that, we need to figure out our next meeting. Is that April 28th, 21st, I always forget. Is it the 4th?
It's the 4th.
4th Tuesday, so
that would
be
the 5th.
Tuesday, the 28th of April at 5 o'clock is our next schedule. And with that, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
State your name.
Robin Jensen entertains a motion to adjourn.
Nancy Smith, second. Oh, did you make a motion or did you call? Nancy, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Janet Taylor seconds that.
Okay.